Well, if you would, please take your Bibles and open them to Psalm 34, where we will begin to consider what I've titled today, Unspoken. And by unspoken, I'm thinking of the things that people fear and doubt, but also fear to speak them. And everybody goes through this at some point in life, especially when things get tough. People are always posed with that unspoken thought, why me? Why me, Lord? And of course, nobody gets around that. That happens to everybody at some point in life. And yet to speak it for the believer would be something that just would be so distasteful, and so people hold that in. But you're human, I'm human, we're all human, and as such, everybody has unspoken thoughts. And everybody, no matter who they are, goes through things. Some time ago, this woman on one of the news shows on TV, she became very ill, and her mother said to her something I found very interesting and very true. And I believe she wrote a book inspired by this little phrase. Interesting how sometimes our parents say things to us that stick with us for decades, right? Parents, grandparents. And her mom said to her, "Oh, honey, everybody's got something." And that's true. Nobody in life goes through life without some kind of pressure, some kind of conflict, some kind of challenge. And just because you and I don't see it, doesn't mean it's not there. And they may never say anything about it. It may remain unspoken. But it exists. People who I've served the word to over the years, I think many of them are under the impression that I'm never challenged, or that men and women like me are never challenged, simply because you stand in a pulpit, stand before a lectern, and teach the word of God. It does not mean that we're not challenged. We're all challenged. Nobody gets out of it. Everybody's got something. And of course, that's just life. The fact that you're human, the fact that you have faults, the fact that life is surrounded by various circumstances out of our control, the fact that the devil is currently the god of this world, that the world is an evil place, that it is corrupting, that we are surrounded by that corruption, the fact that sometimes we don't listen when God speaks, all of these are elements that have to do with why things happen in our lives. It's just life. And, you know, if the Lord tarries, we'll all fall asleep someday. The greater reality is that there's a day coming when the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first with the trump of God. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them amid the cloud, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And those are the things that make for encouragement and strength and endurance. Those are the things wrapped up in the hope. This life we live now has got its perils and its pitfalls. There is no such thing as automatic armor, automatic protection. We sang that song in opening today. Blessed assurance. And I made note that it doesn't say blessed insurance. And I think a lot of times Christians find themselves under the misconception that as a Christian, nothing bad can ever happen to you. But that's not true. Bad things do happen to good people. And they don't happen necessarily because that good person did something wrong or deserved it. There's an awful lot going on out there in the world, an awful lot. And we don't always listen to that still small voice. I'll speak for myself. But there are times where I've known better, and for one reason or another, who knows even why, just kind of dismissed that still small voice. We all do it. And So for the unspoken fears and doubts that some people have, that most people are confronted with at one point or another in their lives, don't worry about that. Just stay faithful to God and His Word. And remember, if you will, that everybody's got something. At some point, a wise man told me years ago, and I held this close to my heart for many years, he said that if you live long enough, son, everybody will experience at least some of what Job experienced. And how true that is. And maybe you don't want to read the book of Job right now because of that, but Job had some awful circumstances in his life, but yet he never cursed God with his lips or blamed God foolishly, never. Even though he was under tremendous, tremendous, tremendous pressure. Well, here's a great record in Psalm 34, if you'll go there. And we'll begin in the first verse. You might have the notation here that this is a Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And even though we can't put any stock in these little notes sometimes that are found in our Bibles or Bible headings, that one is pretty accurate. Abimelech, for your information, is an appellative which was used for the kings of Gath, like Pharaoh was used for Egypt. Pharaoh was not Pharaoh's name. Pharaoh was the appellation given to an Egyptian king. Well, the same thing is true for Abimelech. Abimelech is just an appellative or an appellation given for the kings of Gath. This particular guy was Achish. I will bless the Lord, verse 1, and the word for Lord there is Yahweh. I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that is great guidance. That's what David did. That's something we should do. Bless Yahweh, bless God at all times. Not just when times are good, but all times. God dwells in our praises. And that's what we want to do. We want to make ourselves where we are thankful all the time. Now, that doesn't mean you're thankful for a crappy situation. No, but that means you can be thankful in a crappy situation, knowing that we have an assurance. That assurance has to do with eternity, and that God is always right there with us to see us through. My soul, verse 2, shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now that's David by revelation in this psalm. And of course, the psalms were sung. This was a song of praise, praising God for his deliverance. David had fears. I will bless Yahweh. And it says here, I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then verse 4, I sought the Lord, I sought Yahweh, and he heard me. The word heard there should have been, he answered me. He answered me and delivered or rescued me from all my fears. David was rescued from his fears. Why rescued? Because fear is bondage. Fear is not from God. Fear is bondage. Hold your place here and go to 1 John, if you would, the 5th chapter. And we'll come back as we continue to study and consider that which is unspoken. David. You know, that's the same David who slew Goliath. That's the same David who was the sweet psalmist of Israel. That's the same David who was a man of war and king and God's anointed. In 1 John chapter 5, and verse 14, he sought the Lord and the Lord heard him. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? heareth us. He hears us. When you ask something according to God's will, like David did, deliver me from my fears, rescue me, save me from my fears, God hears, because it is his will that you and I have no fear, because fear is bondage. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So we have to have that knowing, and it's available to us. Look in Acts 3. What are your expectations? You see, if that's your expectation, if that is your expectation that you're asking something according to God's will, like in the case of David, we're going to Acts 3 if you would, like in the case of David, where he asked to be rescued from his fears, saved from his fears, right? That's according to God's will. So if you're asking something according to God's will, you should be looking expectantly to receive it. And that is a big key in receiving anything from God, expectation. The person with the unspoken fear, the unspoken doubt, more than likely is going to have low expectations, else they wouldn't be fearing and doubting. So we have to allow God to rescue or save us from our fears. Here's a great record. I know you're familiar with it. Acts 3, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. His whole life he was lame, couldn't walk, born that way. Now, you know, that's got to become a comfortable situation, for lack of better phraseology. I mean, you just settle into it because you're born that way, right? Becomes the way you are. Whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, asked a mercy deed. And Peter, fastening eyes upon him with John, said, look unto us. And he, the man, gave heed unto them. And this is the key. You know, Jesus walked past this same man. He was above 40 years old. This was not long after Jesus ascended into heaven that Peter and John walked by the beautiful gate of the temple. This man was laid at the beautiful gate of the temple every day. Every day, people would walk by him. Some of those days, Jesus himself walked by this man. What was the difference in the man's life that at this point in time he got healed, when the other times, even when God's only begotten Son walked by, that wasn't available? Well, here's the key. The big key is his expectation. When you're not expecting to receive that which you've asked God for, well, probably not going to receive it. Better to be expecting, to have that expectation. I know there's people who say, well, if you don't have the expectation, then you can't have the disappointment, right? Well, there's the old saying, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all, right? You get those expectations up there, and I assure you that the answers to your prayer will be much more forthcoming because of your attitude, not a change in God, but just a change in your willingness to receive. He asked a mercy deed. Sometimes he asked over those 40 plus years in his life, not expecting to receive anything. Sort of like an empty request, right? Here, he's expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I'm always reminded of certain religious figures who stand and claim to pray for the poor while holding huge golden crosses dressed lavishly in gold-threaded, bejeweled apparel. Seems a little bit hypocritical to me. And I'm always reminded of Peter and John, who said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. What's the greatest thing you can give somebody, if not a spiritual gift, right? And they took him by the right hand, which is the hand of blessing, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Not only was this a miracle, but this is miracle upon miracle. First of all, if you study the language, you will find that there were no parts in there prior to being healed. There were certain parts missing in his ankle and feet that made it impossible for him to walk. And maybe you've seen children born that way, which, you know, it's a birth defect, and they're the necessary bones and such to walk just aren't there. So those were there, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. There's another miracle right there, because even if everything is intact physiologically, bones and all of that, not to mention atrophied muscle, but beyond all of that, if you had the whole nine yards in terms of the equipment, there's got to be the ability to know how to walk. You have a healthy baby. The baby has everything that's necessary in order to perambulate. But what does the baby need to do? Learn how to walk. And yet, right on the spot, bang. All based on his expectations. Back in Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This man, poor man, cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And that's a different kind of fear than being delivered from my fears. That's that respect, that reverence for God. The fear of all the negative things that can happen, all those fears are not the same as the respect we have for God, the reverence. And of course, along with that reverence that we have for God, we revere and we respect his power. He's God. You know, it's kind of like my .454 Casull Magnum revolver. I'm not afraid of it, but I most definitely respect its power. That, you know, it's that kind of fear. There's a respect there that we have to have for God. David was in an incredible situation. This psalm is a song of praising God for his deliverance. That deliverance and the record of it is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Most honest biblical scholars will agree with this. David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, verse 1. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? This is because Saul was upset with David because David got so much attention for having slain Goliath that the people were praising David as their hero and not Saul the king. So David hightailed it. And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereupon I send thee. And what have I commanded thee? And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there's no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves, at least from women. And David answered the priest and said, of a truth, women have been kept from us, these 3 days since I came out in the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common. This is the showbread, you know, the manna that they kept as a testimony of God's having delivered them years before. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, and there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg the Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belongeth to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, by the way, this is Ahim, not Abim. Close, but not the same. Got it? And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought any sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. So David wanted to know, do you have any weaponry for me? And the priest said, well, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there's no other save that here. And David said, there's none like that one. Give it to me. So now David is equipped with the sword of Goliath. Now, if you stop and think for a moment, the sword of Goliath matched the size of Goliath. Therefore, the sword of Goliath was not like any other sword that would have been wielded by normal-sized men, men such as David. So this sword of Goliath was a giant sword. David was an average man, like any other man of the Hebrews. This sword would have been something that would have been undeniably Goliath's. And remember, David slew Goliath. He killed him and then cut his head off. Hit him with the stone between the, well, many people think the eyes, because we've studied the scripture and found that to be the knee, which made him drop, and then David took his head off. Any way you want to look at it, David killed Goliath. Cut his head off with his own sword. If you'll also remember, David as a youth was even too small for Saul's armor. Never mind Goliath. Goliath was a giant. And so here he's got this sword. Now, he can't hide that. You know, it's not like a concealed weapon. He couldn't hide it like, you know, a little 38 snub-nosed Colt. This would be like he's got a bazooka. I mean, this thing is, no way he can hide it. And he arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. And he went to Achish, the king of Gath. Remember, I told you that was that king, of Gath, that was referred to as Abimelech in Psalm 34. And the servants of Achish said unto him, oh, wait a minute, isn't this David, the king of the land? Well, how would they have known that right away? Well, because David has got Goliath's sword with him. Goliath was from Gath, so they weren't happy about that. You know, you see things in the news today where people are not happy in the Middle East about what happened to relatives or soldiers or policemen or whatever that were somehow hurt or killed in their town, and they take up arms when they see individuals that they think may have done that. Sadly, we've seen this in our own country of late, where people have violent protests because they think an injustice was done to one of their fellow people that live in the same locale, right? Imagine, if you will, what those of Gath would have thought of David walking into their village, their town, their city, and going up to the king, King Achish. It's pretty amazing. And so they knew it was David, and they said, Achish, the king, said, isn't this David, the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? They even sang about this guy. Had songs about him. What an insult to us. How humiliating! Well, now we've got him, haven't we? And David laid up these words in his heart, and he was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. He had every right to be. In the midst of the enemy, and the enemy is furious, and the enemy thinks they've got him. And this is when David prayed that little prayer in his heart, when he sought the Lord, and he knew that God heard him and rescued him from all his fears. And he must have given him this little revelation to behave this way. David changed his behavior before them and feigned or pretended himself mad in their hands. He was acting as though he were insane. And he scrabbled on the doors of the gate. He scrabbled on them. Imagine that. And let his spittle fall down upon his beard, drooling. And Achish said unto his servants, "Whoa, you see this man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me?" See, they had and still have in this part of the world a fear of people who are insane. It's one of their superstitions because they believe it has a spiritual connotation to it. "Have I need of madmen that you brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves together unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So his fortunes changed that day because God rescued him, saved him out of his fears. Look in Psalm 22. I am sure that that day for David, when in the hands of Achish in Gath, the city from which Goliath and Goliath's five brothers were from, imagine how furious they would have been. I'm sure that David's fears were unspoken, except he told God. He didn't try to hide that from God. Now, if you have an unspoken fear or doubt, I'm not saying that you should vocalize it and claim it and make it your own. I'm not saying you should own your fear. Oh, no. I think the word is clear. That fear needs to be spoken. Does it need to be spoken aloud? No. You need to tell the Father about it. "Father, please deliver me from my fears. Strengthen me with the beauty of your divine presence." And you can rest assured that he will hear you. Fear is not something you want. Verse 22 of Psalm 22. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye, the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he" what? "He heard." He's not going to get down on you. God doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't get on us for that. He knows our frame. He understands we're but dust. He knows we have fears and doubts, shortcomings, weaknesses, failures. All of us. And he also knows, baby, that everybody's got something. Everybody. So, like Matthew 7 says, if you'll go there, adopt this attitude from Matthew 7. Spoken that day as Jesus taught that great Sermon on the Mount. Verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Don't be shy with the Father. You have access to him. You can go to him with these unspoken things. You don't have to tell anybody else. Between you and God. If they're unspoken, means you haven't told anybody else. So, don't be afraid. Go to Father and He'll deliver you from your fears. Back in the Psalms, in 27th Psalm, if you go there. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Well, it's a good question. It's rhetorical. Doesn't require an answer, but I'll give you one. No one. The Lord is my strength, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Again, rhetorical. The answer? No one. How about this? Of what shall I be afraid? Again, nothing. Why? Because the Lord is your light, your salvation. Look in Psalm 23. Love this psalm. This is a good one to commit to memory. This is the first passage in the scriptures that I ever committed to memory. I did this when I was 11 years old. And I was being baptized in the Baptist church. And I don't know, I don't remember how it came about, but because you had to do a testimony before the congregation. And they gave me a Bible. And I somehow wound up on the radio with this, recited this psalm from memory. It was all part of the shtick. But it was a great experience to be able to memorize this, the word, the scripture. It wasn't such a great experience to be dunked in Tobey, but two or three times. But this was a great experience, and I can still remember this to this day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Have you ever considered that? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And, of course, the rest of that psalm is just awesome. But look at that fourth verse. I will fear no evil. Fear no evil. Fear no evil. What is it that would make you fearful? In a word, evil. Anything that would to make you fearful is evil. Fear no evil. Look at Colossians 1. Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1. A most overlooked truth. People talk today, church after church, about generational curses. Once you're a Christian, there's no generational curse or anything of that nature. You're not born under a bad sign. People think that too. And sadly, in many Christian churches, they teach this. Once you're born of God's Spirit, all that stuff means nothing. It's meaningless. As far as anything generational, well, of course, we're all raised in a certain environment. And as such, the summation, the sum total of our experiences and the things we've been taught, exposed to, and the way we've been raised has some impact on our lives, of course. Does that mean a person can't change? Of course not. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Boaz taught me that. That son of a gun was still learning when he was 10, 11, 12 years old. You can't teach a dog new tricks. That thought is out the window. Of course, it's a whole lot easier to learn afresh than it is to have to unlearn and relearn. I won't dispute that. But look at this. Giving thanks, verse 12, unto the Father who hath made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered or rescued us from the power of darkness. We are free from the power of evil. were rescued from it, and hath translated us or into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You are free from the power of evil. And the devil and his host look at you. What they see and hear is hands off. Don't touch. But it's always in our ability, since we have freedom of choice, to make choices which can then move us away from God's protection and into the traps of the adversary. Sure, we can do that. But this is not looming over your head. So tell him to back off. Take a hike. Just like Jesus did when he said, "Get thee behind me." Take a hike. Because it is written. It is written that you are delivered from the power of evil. You're free from it. Back in the Psalm 46. If you'll go there. Psalm 46. And verse 1. I love this. This is one of my favorite psalms. And a good one to think about when times are tough. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Think about that. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Always there. That's why you don't need to have fear. And if you do, seek the Lord and his deliverance, just as David did. Look in Psalm 103. The rest of Psalm 46 talks about pleasant future realities. Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Another place in the Word it says he daily loads us with benefits. You know, the things of the world want you to forget the benefits and focus on the negatives. I love that old song. You've got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Great song. I highly encourage you to listen to it. Maybe get it in your head, stuck in your head, like some of these other dumb tunes get stuck in your head during the course of the week. "Who forgives all thine iniquities, who healeth," how many of your diseases? All of them. Was that with exception? Well, everyone except for that. Why would we expect it to get better? Well, because he promises he'll heal all our diseases. Question is, what are our expectations? I heard a physician say, why would we expect it to get better? Well, if we don't, maybe it won't. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." You know, 2 Timothy says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So whenever and wherever we have fear, we can rest assured that it is not from God, that it had to come from some other place. Could be from our ignorance. Could be from our surroundings. Could be from other people. Could be from the things we've heard. It could be from the negative, evil things of this current evil world. In any case, we have power, love, and a sound mind. So a mind that has fear in it isn't sound. Well, let's go to Deuteronomy, which is where we'll close. Deuteronomy chapter 31, it's the end of the book of Deuteronomy. You know, if you get a chance, I would encourage you, and you should have a chance at some point here, to read 1 Samuel 17, the record of David and Goliath. And you know, the interesting thing about David and Goliath was David's attitude was, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Just who is this jerk? That was his attitude. And then, of course, you know, the rest is history. He slew Goliath, cut his head off. And you know what happened to the rest of the Philistines? They ran. Well, because you know what? That's what bullies do when they're confronted. They turn and run. They turn and they run. You know, I was just a little boy. And there was this kid who I would go out to play, and he would bully me. He was bigger than me. I don't remember how old I was, but I was little. And he would punch me in the nose on numerous occasions, and I would go running home crying with a bloody nose. And my nanny, my little Italian grandma, she got me and she said, Liney boy, what you do is when you see him the next time, you punch him before he does anything. You punch him first. Don't let him hit you. You hit him. So I went out there the next day. And of course, here he comes. And I hauled off and punched him right in the nose. And his nose started bleeding. And you know what he did? He started crying and he ran away. He did, because that's what bullies do. And I learned that from a little boy. And I've kept that also close to my heart over the years. You cannot let a bully push you around. I don't care what that bully is, because everybody's got something. I don't know what your Goliath is or was or will be. I don't know what fear gnaws at you. But you can live a life and face your Goliath without fear, knowing that God is there with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And when you face these things, those bullies turn and run. I don't care what they are. I don't care who they are. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, is what Moses spoke by revelation to Joshua. Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And I will say that to you this day. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Let those unspoken things be spoken to the Lord God Almighty. He shall hear, he shall save you.